Thank you all very much for coming. Have you been enjoying the conference so far? It's been exciting stuff. This is an awesome, exciting time to be in our industry. I don't care what platform you're on, what language you use, this is just an exciting time because our industry is young again. It is so cool. How many of you in particular would like to hear something about the future of C++? How many of you? I'm sorry, I don't think I quite got that. What was that? Well, then let's talk about that. There are two parts to this talk. The first is an update about things to do with C++ at Microsoft and using the Visual C++ compiler. But just as C++ wears two hats, I wear two hats, and many of you do as well. And then we'll talk about announcements of interest to C++ across the industry on all compilers and platforms in this wonderful, portable, standard language. But let's begin with C++ at Microsoft. And first, a little update. 9 months ago today, 9 months ago today, in this building, we held the first Going Native conference. How many of you were here live in person or watched any of it live or on demand afterwards? How many of you? Lots. Did you like it? Well, this is C++'s biggest conference ever. If you look at just the people in the room, we were sold out of the room capacity. People from 18 countries, 23 states came for a two-day conference. I mean, this is a long way to come from Australia or China or Russia for just 2 days. And lots of people did. But the sold out in-person audience, even that wasn't the biggest C++ conference because there have been bigger ones than that. But in addition to that, it was broadcast live on the web and there were over 20,000 viewers on the web live as that conference unfolded, listening to Bjarne Stroustrup's opening keynote, Hans Boehm talk about memory model, garbage collection, Andrei Alexandrescu, Chandler Kareth, and so many other great speakers and panels. And we wanted to do that to make it possible to have lots of good modern C++ content on the web, to begin to help do our part to increase awareness of this beautiful modern version of the language and how to use it. And so all of those talks, in addition to being streamed live, were also available on demand. And today, 9 months later, I'm pleased to say that so far over 600,000 viewers have seen those talks on demand, and that number continues to grow, because the content isn't dated. It is going to stay true. It is perennial and useful, and it will stay that way for a while. So how many of you enjoyed Going Native? Let me hear you. Okay, quite a few. Do you think we should maybe do it again?
Yeah.
Really? Do you really think so?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Charles, you're watching. We should talk about that. I'm a little bit of a tease. I'm sorry. I have nothing to announce today about Going Native 2013, sorry. But if you're interested in that kind of thing, you might want to keep your February calendar clear. Why is C++ so important and of interest at Microsoft? If you look at the standard slide for Windows 8, and you've seen various versions of this slide from Microsoft and elsewhere, pick your favorite one. One key element is the same. JavaScript, C and C++, and C# and Visual Basic are equal languages. We want to make it equally usable to be able to program WinRT applications, modern Win8 applications in any of these languages. At Microsoft, we love C# and .NET and the other .NET languages. We love HTML5 and JavaScript. We are built on C++. Just as the whole industry runs on C and C++. If you look at the core of C and C++, a lot stays unchanged. It remains central. In fact, if you look at the core operating system in Windows 8, as we were working through the release cycle, I got to interact with many teams over in Windows, many, many teams. It's a very large product. And I was really pleased to see more than I have ever seen in any product cycle, the release of Windows to date. In Windows 8, see more teams adopt modern C++, to see large parts of the system being written using lambdas and auto and decal type and exceptions. Because remember, Windows, the core of it was written in the day where C was the popular cross-platform language. more and more it is a C++ operating system. And when you take a level up, all the cool new stuff we're learning about and focusing on in WinRT, all that rich object-oriented UI, is built in C++ using tools that the Visual C++ team provided, like the Windows Runtime Library, and that was used to build WinRT. And if you take a dependency diagram through the different teams at Microsoft, Team A uses the product of Team B, or Team Y depends on the product of Team X. And you take this path, one of the things you find when you analyze this graph is there is only one team that nearly every other team at Microsoft depends on. And it's not Windows even, because Windows is really important. It's a really busy node in that graph because everybody is depending on Windows for a lot of different things, but not all teams do. Every team transitively depends on Visual C++, including Windows, because we're used to build everything from the CLR and C# compilers to the WinRT APIs and everything else that we see. So we've been pretty busy, and that's one of the reasons why, as we've seen an industry tsunami go through with the tablet revolution and also GPGPU, it was fell to us to be at the center of things. We had to bring up ARM as a new target. Windows 8 tablet apps using many of these tools, being able to use DX together with XAML to make beautiful, beautiful new apps that are fast and fluid. We delivered C++ AMP for GPGPU computing to use your GPU as a coprocessor, because it was untenable for C++, which is in the business of giving you access to the hardware, to not be able to access the commodity machine, because half of the installed base or so of machines in the world have a compute class GPU available, and you want to be able to use that. And more, we delivered an auto vectorizer, auto parallelizing compiler, and much more. We also delivered the complete C++ 11 standard library, including more than that, the not yet standard but being worked on file system based on Boost V2. We added some C++ 11 language features, including enum class, override final, and the range for loop, which a few people have told us they're really excited about. So you can stop writing that old style for loop and just say for each thing in this collection directly. And since we announced that beta with those features, since then it's become public that we now support Windows Phone 8 apps, and you got the SDK for that earlier this week. This has been a very tiring release. We're not complaining. It's also been very exciting because the Visual C++ team has done perhaps more work than in any other release I can remember, certainly the biggest release for us in years. But we have still been getting some requests. This hop request has been for better C++ 11 conformance. We did some, but it caught us in the middle of a huge release cycle with the release of the standard, which we supported, which is good for the industry, but we have some work to do. Windows XP targeting. I have heard from customers from Poughkeepsie to Patterson. You know who you are. Windows XP support is really important. And a free Express compiler for developing desktop applications, so open source projects and many others are always able to use that free compiler. And so, as you know, we've been working on this. Less than 2 months ago, we shipped Visual Studio 2012 on September 12th, and the same day announced and shipped VS 2012 Desktop Express, including a free Visual C++ compiler also for desktop applications. That was number three. Number two, less than a month later, we announced the CTP of our Windows XP targeting, which enables you in Visual Studio 2012 to be able to target make applications that run on Windows XP with the new compiler from C++. And the full release of that is coming soon. It'll be part of Update 1. That's number three. Number two, now let's talk about Job 1. At Going Native, we announced that we would start doing out-of-band releases. So if you look at the history of Visual C++, one reason people were so frustrated with not getting the feature they wanted, whatever it was, but especially conformance, was, guys, we know you don't ship hardly but every 2 or 3 years. If we don't get it now, our children will be 3 grades later, older, by the time that, you know, they might not be in school anymore by the time you give us a new compiler. So we announced that we are going to begin doing out-of-band releases, starting with CTPs, and use that facility to progressively roll out more C++ 11 features, and we said soon after Visual C++ 2012 ships. Well, it shipped less than 2 months ago. This is soon after. So I'm very pleased to announce today the first batch of C++ 11 conformance features in the form of the Visual C++ compiler November 2012 CTP, the Community Tech Preview. Now, it's a compiler. The word compiler is in there for a reason. We updated the batch compiler, but we didn't do anything about the compiler that powers the IDE, so you'll get IntelliSense failures, so IntelliSense won't crash, but it'll give you false red squigglies. The standard library has not yet been updated, so some of the new features that the standard library could use haven't been lit up yet. That's just for the CTP. When we ship it, all those things will be in place as they always are. But for the CTP, be aware, it's a compiler-only release, and it is a CTP, it's a preview. I know some of you have the habit, because we ship pretty stable betas, that some of you have the habit of shipping production code compiled with them. I don't want to know about it. Officially, it doesn't happen. It's a preview release, and it runs under VS 2012, including the free Desktop Express. So you can try this out for free if you don't have that already. Let's talk about the features in it. How many of you have wished you had explicit conversion operators? Can I hear anybody for explicit conversion operators? Some polite applause. Okay, there's a few of you. It's a small feature, but it's really handy. We've always had a way to address implicit conversions through single argument constructors. You could make them explicit, and that way you couldn't get an implicit conversion when you didn't mean it and the code compiles and does the wrong thing. But there's always been the other way to do conversions, from my type, using a conversion operator to another type. The C++ 11 standard has now added explicit there too, and we now have that in the CTP compiler. For example, if you have a unique pointer type, you want an explicit operator bool. So you can do things like if pointer, and it can work like a boolean. But you do not want use pointer times 42 to compile when you forgot to deref the pointer or something. And if you know why that does compile, you know way too much about C++. And the fact that you used to have to know why that compiled, and if you know even the workaround to prevent it from compiling, then you know even way much more, too much more than about C++. But if people had to know this stuff, this is part of what made C++ a complex language. This is a classic example of where C++ 11 adds a language feature that makes the language simpler. There's two ways adding a language feature can make a language simpler. One is by creating an abstraction, so you don't have to write boilerplate mechanics yourself all the time by hand. So you've got an abstraction, you can express your intent, which is great. The other side of expressing your intent, number two, is you can eliminate entire classes of errors by having said exactly what you want. This is an example of being able to express your intent, a small feature that makes the language simpler. That's number one. Second feature is raw string literals. How many of you have used regular expressions, XML, HTML in strings? How many of you are tired of writing long sequences of backslashes and counting them to see if you got them right? Welcome to the modern world. And if you're writing a Win8 app and you're generating your own XAML programmatically, you're generating HTML, you're doing a new C++ 11 regular expression because we already include that as part of VS 2012, the standard C++ library including regular expressions. Now you can do that and have new lines right in your code, no escaping, and it says exactly what you mean. Small feature, but it makes life easier. That's number two. The third feature is function template default arguments. This is really important because class templates always have had the ability to have default arguments. And functions were a second-class citizen, as Bjarne here is one of the many places that he's complained about that. Well, now those are treated uniformly. And it helps you in enable if scenarios. Sometimes you want to write it enable if, and a default type parameter is the right place to do it. Or in the example shown on the screen, if you want to write, say, a sort function that's a container-based sort, takes a whole container at a time, and you want it to default to less than ordering, just like STL does in general, if you don't have function template default arguments, you can default the parameter, but you can't default the type, and so you need to write your one-line pass-through overload to the common function. It's not the end of the world, but you can write the code much more simply and clearly using function template default arguments. Another place where adding a feature makes our code simpler because we can express intent. A lot of you have asked me for delegating constructors. How many of you have been waiting for delegating constructor support in the compiler? Well, we're very glad to have that feature. Yes, you had a workaround in C++ 98. In old C++, you just wrote a common init function. Problem with that is you couldn't initialize bases and members from that. You had to default initialize or something your base classes and members and then assign to them or set their values somehow. Now you can have one constructor delegate to another, maybe tack on other work of its own, but it's very easy to express the common work, including to have exactly correct initialization of bases and members from the get-go, construct them exactly as you want them, regardless of which path you took to get to that constructor. Now, did you notice something about those last two examples? They're two cool C++ 11 features, part of modern C++, which adds features and makes it cleaner, safer, and as fast as ever. But they weren't written with correct modern C++ 11 style that we should come to expect people like Scott Myers and other authors to teach us to do. So take a look at that delegated constructor example again for a second. Can you spot the problem? What's wrong with that example in terms of style, C++ 11 style? Initialization braces, yes. So the problem is right here, here, there, 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 and there, and there, I think that's the right number. Where if you look really closely now, blink and you'll miss it. Are you ready? Here we go. Let's do that again. We go back and they're round. We go forward and they're curly. This is a small difference that makes a lot of difference. We're very pleased that our fifth feature in the Visual C++ November 2012 CTP is uniform initialization. In C++ 98, one of the things that was confusing is that you had all sorts of different syntaxes to initialize things. You could initialize an array with nice brace syntax with 1, 2, 3 and have that be a collection. But you couldn't do that with this standard vector, which is what you're supposed to be using because it's safer and that's what we tell you, but it's not hardly as easy to use. It was kind of annoying. And of course, local variables were initialized using a different syntax, not braces, but parens. And oh, by the way, if you look at that first line in the bottom example, what does that line actually do? It doesn't actually declare a local variable. Looks like it. It does nothing because it declares a function named w that takes an origin and extends and returns a rectangle. How many of you have enjoyed teaching that to people and explaining, no, really, C++ is simple? The top is what you write today. The syntax is the same. It is not ambiguous. It is clean. It does exactly what you want. And there are now nearly no cases in modern C++ where the initialization syntax is not uniform. There's a couple of corner cases. There's hardly any. All of this works in the CTP that we're shipping today, except for that fourth line, which I've called out. And that's because, like I said, we've updated the compiler. It supports uniform initialization and initializer list, but it does not yet include support for the standard library to take advantage of those features. And to make that line compile simply requires std vector to take an initializer list constructor. We're going to do it. It's just not in the CTP. So be aware, this is what you should be writing. The first three lines work. And if you have your own collection type, give it an initializer list constructor, and that will work for it in the CTP. And we'll add support, of course, in the standard library implementation as well. So those are five useful features as a first batch of features in C++ 11. If there was just one more feature that isn't in Visual C++ yet today and that I haven't mentioned in the CTP from C++ 11 that you'd like to see in the compiler, what would it be? I just heard a chorus of variadic templates. Well, that might be because you were poisoned by Andre. Because Andre Alexandrescu, when he gave a talk here at Going Native, he gave a talk entitled, Variadic Templates Are Fanatic. And we thought, well, let's make this a fanatic release. So variadic templates are now also part of the CTP, of the November 12th CTP Visual C++. Thank you. I hope you enjoy it. Now, the nice thing about this is we have type, variable length, type, and parameter packs, which are type safe, which you can manipulate at compile time. Very useful to do. And in conjunction with another C++ 11 feature, because these work together so well, they're well designed to work together, R value references, move semantics, which we've had in Visual C++ for 2 years now, since 2010, together those now give you perfect forwarding. And that too now is enabled by having variadic templates. So we're really excited to see all that coming together. So that's the Visual C++ November CTP. You've got explicit conversion operators, raw string literals, function template default arguments, delegating constructors, uniform initialization, initializer lists, variadic templates, and that is available today. You can download it after this talk, not during, please, at akams/vcctp. And I just gave you a whirlwind overview of those features. We want you to use these and more upcoming C++ 11 features. We want you to know how to use them well. So our own Stefan Lavave has also recorded a tour that you can has gone live now on Channel 9, where you can see a talk about these six features. He'll give you a tour of the CTP. So Stefan's always really great to listen to. I encourage you, using any compiler on any platform, listen to Stefan. You'll learn something. He's the guy who's the primary person who maintains and implements our standard library implementation. And he's a very great and entertaining instructor. Run, don't walk. And you'll be sure to enjoy it. Now, what's coming next? We'll continue to deliver C++ 11. We are not done. This is the first batch. And you can expect to hear more from us on that in the first half of next year, first half of calendar 2013. That is a top priority for us. It is not our only top priority. It is a top priority because you have to conform to be C++, because the standard defines what that is. Microsoft runs on Visual C++. It is still our job to support the platform, to support you to develop Windows Phone apps, Windows 8 apps, Azure apps. And so we're going to continue to invest also in those areas to make sure that C++ is what it should be, the standard language, and delivering full access to the hardware and the platform, your operating system, and its wonderful features, especially as we're getting so many exciting new things today. We want to be able to exploit them, and we'll make sure we do that job as well. So that's it for Visual C++ updates, C++ at Microsoft. Now let's switch gears a little bit and put on the other hat, because I also have the privilege of chairing the ISO C++ committee. And it turns out that there's a lot of stuff going on throughout the industry. This has been a phenomenal past year for C++ on every compiler, on every platform. And today is a great day for C++. First, an update. If you look back at the very beginning of standard C++, here are the cohorts and the colleagues who were involved in the very first ANSI standardization meeting in Somerset, New Jersey, back in 1990. That was over 21 years ago. Last year, when work was completed by the committee for the C++ 11 standard, here's a picture of the people who were present at that meeting in March in Madrid last year to vote out that standard. And you'll probably recognize a few people there. Now, a lot has changed in 21 years, hasn't it? For example, there's a lot less facial hair these days, although that's coming back now. Let's see, the development of color photography. It's been a long time since standardization began. But some things have stayed the same, because you'll notice four faces that are in both pictures. Bjarne Stroustrup, who's the inventor and creator of C++, chairs the Evolution Working Group, has always done that. Mike Miller of Edison Design Group, who has in the past and now again chairs the Core Language Working Group inside the committee. Steve Klamage of Sun, now of Oracle, who chairs the ANSI, the U.S. National Committee for C++. And Pete Becker, who has long been involved in C++ standardization in the library side, has got some great books, and also has been the project editor until recently throughout most of the C++ 11 development process. His fingers were on the keyboard to make the changes in the standard. So we've got some nice continuity too, as well as you'll notice some younger faces as a new generation is becoming involved. More on that in a moment. Now, if you look at standardization and the progress, the number of people who show up at these meetings, volunteers and working long hours, really honestly, because it's important work, at every meeting since about 2008, I went through the minutes and I actually counted them up, the attendance sheets, and they're roughly, say, 45 to 50, give or take. So maybe sometimes it's into the low 50s of people attending these face-to-face meetings, so they're not small. But that's been the heartbeat. Now, you'll notice an outlier there, because in the March 2011 meeting in Madrid, of course, everybody knew that was the meeting we were probably going to finish and vote out the C++ 11 standard. So, of course, everyone wants to be there. I was there. I voted. I was in the picture. And you saw the picture at poolside before, outside the hotel, with the people who were there. And so you saw a spike in attendance, and then it went back to what it had been. After you ship a standard, especially after such a long development cycle as C++ OX, which eventually became OXB, I think, it became C++ 11, was, people get tired. They ship a product, just like in your companies, you ship a product and then people maybe move teams. That's a good time to make changes. So you would expect that maybe attendance would go down for a while as the committee got quieter. What actually happened at our last two meetings was that C++ attendance went back to recent record highs and then broke it again 2 weeks ago in Portland. This is coming from new companies and individuals participating in the standards process and giving very, very valuable contributions. It is also existing companies. Notably, I'm just going from the people I saw in the room, notably you saw increases from Microsoft, Intel, and Google, each of which used to send about two people or so and has been this year sending five or six because of the work that's being done, the broadened scope, and the acceleration that's happening and the desire to contribute to standard C++. Now, how do you organize those people? That's part of my job in herding cats. And so we've always had three subgroups under WG21, which is the ISO working group that I'm the convener of, which is responsible for C++. The first on the left-hand side are Core and Evolution. Core is the core language working group responsible for the detailed specification standard ease that goes into the specification of the core language. And the Evolution working group, which is chaired by Bjarne Strostrup, is the one that designs and invents new features that primarily have some language impact. They may also have library impact, but if they have any language impact, they belong in Evolution. Pure library extensions belong in the library working group, which does both of those things. They both specify and create and standardize existing practice, as well as they're responsible for the detailed jot and tittle to make sure the standard ease is spelled legally correctly and is consistent and implementable and everybody knows what it means. That picture is great, and it doesn't scale. In the first round of C++ standardization, there were actually a couple of library subgroups, library 1, 2, and 3. And there were a couple of core subgroups, say 1 and 2. And we haven't done that so much during C++ 11. Now that we're having more manpower, as of the February meeting in Kona, the spring meeting this year, we created four study groups. One of them had already existed, but not as an official ISO study group. So I constituted these four study groups and appointed their chairs: concurrency, modules, file system, and networking. An ISO study group is an independent entity. It is allowed to operate independently from its parent, WG. This is important because it enables study groups to have meetings of their own, face-to-face meetings, telecons, that are not full WG21 meetings, but they're still legally part of the standards process. It's not collusion of, you know, of the five biggest vendors in the industry getting together and deciding what the standard should say. That's illegal if you're not doing it as part of standardization. A study group is part of the ISO process and is allowed to do that. Now, they don't progress anything by themselves. They still have to bring their work back to the WG and through the Evolution library and core groups and then to progress standardization. But it allows us to break things apart and work on many things at a time. It also encourages more participation. SG1 and SG4, since the February meeting where these were created, the full meeting, those two met again just a few miles from here in Bellevue, Washington, in May. And SG1 and SG4 alone had a meeting of 40 people working on reader-writer locks, thread pools, how to access vector hardware, and networking, how to do standardized networking across POSIX and Windows and other kinds of operating systems, network byte ordering and TCP, all those kinds of things. So we're already seeing benefits from including more people because a lot of those 40 people are the top names in their domains who never attended a C++ meeting before. But now they're contributing to the standardization work. In May, at that meeting, there was enough interest in transactional memory from companies like Intel and IBM that we created a whole new SG. So I appointed the transactional memory group SG5 with Michael Wong of Intel as chair of that. And then over the summer, we had more interest in numerics, everything from decimal floating point to fractions. And we wanted to make sure that was cohesive, so Lawrence Crowell of Google is chairing that and coordinating the work on numerics. 2 weeks ago at our Portland meeting, by the way, we don't just create these because they're candy, right? And you just consume them because, oh, it's just another lollipop. No, there has to be critical mass. There have to be experts who are serious about it, papers on the table to discuss, and a capable chair to run the subgroup to make sure it does its job and does its work. Nevertheless, 2 weeks ago we created four more, and I'm waiting to hear back from a fifth one. We now have SGs constituted just spinning up, starting their work on compile time reflection, concepts. More on that in a second. It is not a bad word. Ranges, feature tests, and I'm waiting to hear back from the database folks to see if they've got their experts in line before we constitute and appoint that one. The investigation and some design is done in the study groups. The finalization of design is done in evolution and library, detailed specification up in core and also library, and then it comes at the end of the week, if it's going to be approved into a draft of the standard, where everybody comes before the whole committee and everybody votes on whether they approve of including that feature in the standard. Once we include it in a working draft, by the way, every so often we then circulate an ISO ballot document. And there are several levels of that. I'll show you in a second where you can find out more about that if you're curious. And then finally, when nations go through several rounds of voting, the nations agree, yes, this is an international treaty, this is a standard. But here's the work that's being organized in the committee, and I hope you'll notice that we're using concurrency and parallelism among humans also. It's not just for silicon. Now, if you look back at the history of ISO C++, it really began in 1998, because that was the first year we had a published standard. So that's where the history of standard C++ began. Since then, in 2003, we did a bug fix release, no new features. And above the line is standards, below the line is side documents called technical reports or technical specifications. We issued a couple of those, one on how to write high-performance compilers and use C++ for high-performance applications, which was more of an English essay. It wasn't a specification of classes or such. But we also had the library TR, what we'd now call a TS in modern ISO speak, which changed a couple of years ago. And it was a set of extensions like unique pointers, smart pointers, hash tables, regular expressions, much of which then became part of the C++11 standard, which was adopted 12 months ago, right, a year ago this month, in November of last year it was published. If you look back at that rate of standardization over those, 13 years, and then you turn around and you extrapolate and look forward, does it make you happy or sad? The past is not a predictor of the future. I'm very pleased to be able to say that we tentatively said at our February meeting in Kona, and we decided firmly that our goal is 2 weeks ago to deliver a major revision of the standard with major features in the language, but also especially the library, in just 5 years in C++17, which means the technical work has to be largely complete by about 15 or 16. And so many compiler and library vendors will already start implementing it in advance of final standardization. Popular features have that happen. This is good news and bad news. A, it means you get them sooner. B, it means when the committee tweaks it, then you have to go through a breaking change from your compiler vendor. But we all aggressively implement the things that are of most value, understanding that, okay, if they change a little bit, we'll all absorb that, but we'd like them now. So expect to see some implementations of these things even before C++17. Are you happy about that? Some? I would call that medium polite applause. Look, 5 years, a lot can happen in 5 years. What were phones like 5 years ago? So I'm also very pleased to announce that we plan to ship our next product of work 12 months from now. We plan to have the file system technical specification done in two more meetings and ship it. And this is based on Boost File System V3 with much tweaking and committee input that's been really great from people around the world in many countries. And we expect that will be done. And you have an early version of that in your Visual C++ 2012 compiler based on Boost File System V2. Quite a bit changed from V2 to V3. The standard one is even better and more portable. We will finish that work and issue a technical specification next year already, and that will then roll into the next standard. But that's not enough, because we're greedy. Also next year, we expect to ship, in the next 12 months, the first networking technical specification. Now, don't expect it to be a 100-page document, because what SG4, the networking guys, have decided to do is they want to release small things often, just as the whole committee is doing, to release early and often, release small pieces asynchronously and more frequently, so you can see our work, show your work. Notice I said the first networking technical specification, because those guys are crazy in ISO speak. They plan to churn one of these out every year, and I can help them do that. We have got the process down where we know ISO can turn around a document in 1 year. Used to never be less than 2 years. Now you can do it in 1 year. You have your ducks in a row. And we plan to see a cadence, if they're successful, of an additional networking technical specification issued from the standards committee and published by ISO each year for the next few years. In the same amount of time, the transactional memory folks are well along because they already have an industry consortium specification. They're working on bringing that together with ISO C++11 practice, and they seem to be on track to ship a technical specification, done work, approved by international ballot and published by ISO, also in the 14 time frame. And this is what we're going to continue to do. We're going to ship early, smaller pieces, and frequently, and in all, more in the same amount of time as we used to do. And the one other thing that we decided last week, 2 weeks ago, that I am really excited about, and I hope you are too, is that actually C++17 is not going to be the next standard. We intend to ship a new standard of C++ in 2014, which means it will be done in about a year. And that will include mainly bug fixes to the existing standard, but also several smaller features, whatever is ready at that point, and to issue a new standard and have that work done. Now, here we are, November 2nd. Fast forward, pass through the holidays and New Year's. Fast forward 2 months to January 2nd. It's only 2 months away. On that day, you will be able to see, yeah, we expect a new C++ standard next year. Do not think the past performance is a predictor of future results. So what's being discussed for all this work in the near term? We're looking at generic lambdas, polymorphic lambdas. Many of you have asked for that. We love them too. Return type deduction from normal functions. C99 style variable length arrays, but done in a C++ way, and perhaps even a static if or a concepts light proposal. There are several proposals on the table, and this is not the glorious ornate VASA-like concepts proposal that was looked at in the 2000s. Think of this as language support for enable if. No more enable if workaround, where you can say this template requires these things on its type parameters. Otherwise, it just disappears. And to have language support for that. We hope to have that in C++17, maybe even sooner, but we hope to have that in this next round or two of standardization. In the standard library, standard literals, reader-writer locks, thread-safe streams, and I already told you about some of the technical specifications, I can tell you for sure that not all of this is going to be ready in the 14 timeframe, in one of the TSs or C++14. I am guardedly optimistic that much of it will be. And that's only in the next 24 months. Now, I have a question for you. If you weren't here today, how would you have heard about all of this? Just as an experiment, all of you have devices on you. Can you just take a moment, pull out the device nearest you of any size that you can surf the internet with? Might be one of those nice new smartphones, might be a 10.6-inch tablet. There's a few of those around in the room. I think a few hundred of you have that. And, or might be, if you've got a 30-inch monitor in your back pocket, sure, whip that out too. Now, go somewhere on the web. Where on the web would you go to find out everything that's new in C++? My blog. Oh, you poor person. You are, okay, that's one place. So I've got a blog. You're not going to find out everything there. Sorry. Google. Great. You're going to wade through and Bing a lot of stuff that's not organized, and you'll find a few things. I'm very happy to announce, and I would like you all to try it if you would like, a new site called isocpp.org. And there's also a Twitter handle if you like. You should be able to get to that now. Now, with Hurricane Sandy, yesterday the network connectivity was up and down because of the hurricane. So if it doesn't work right now, just try it again in a few minutes. But hopefully all of that will be cleaned up very soon and people will have recovered from that disaster. ISOCPP.org is a center of gravity for C++ on the web. C++ has always had this Rebel Alliance style model. You have an X-Wing here, or a blog here. You have a Yavin base over there, maybe somebody's Boost implementation or POCO. But it's not all in one place. It's a ragtag fleet. So think of this as a home base for that. You can continue that metaphor way too far. Like it used to be owned and organized at AT&T, but that was blown apart too, just like Alderaan, and the home base was destroyed. You can take it way too far, and then who's the emperor? Think of it, all of it, also of it as a level of indirection to make existing sites and resources more available, and as well as having extra original content. Think of it as a combination of CNN and the New York Times for C++. It is for the broad C++ community, although it's centered on standardization at its core, but not limited to that. Vendor neutral, collaborative. And if you haven't got it up, here's what it looks like on a larger screen. You'll see a lot of cool stuff from news, product news, articles and books, video and on demand, events, standardization, Twitter feed on the left. If you're on a small device, you may also see it this way. If you're on a device that has a windowed, say, Internet Explorer, you can have lots of fun just resizing the window dynamically and watching it reflow. Please play that game later. We have more to cover. But it's designed to be available beautifully on any size device you want to consume it on. And you might notice, I'll zoom in on one part of this picture, people love to learn on the train. We love to learn in the doctor's office when we're offline. If you have your favorite offline reader, use it. It'll work just fine with the site. If you don't have one already, every blog post, every wiki page has buttons to immediately use Instapaper, Pocket, or Readability. And Readability will let you directly save to Kindle built into every page of the site for you to be able to take an article and read it on the train, because that's how we all love to learn. Here's a quick tour of what you'll find. On the bar, you'll always find certain features, and in this case, a video by Bjarne from his Going Native keynote, and a new article I'll talk about in a second from Scott Myers that went live yesterday. Upcoming events, including this live webcast right now, is on the site. The Twitter feed also tells you, keeps you up to date. The blog has those same categories that are exposed on the homepage, and you can have direct RSS links to any of those categories. And we've also created forums for those of you who have missed and who know what it was, Compstead C++. Nobody knows what Usenet is anymore. And we've lost a great resource in having a place to discuss the standard publicly. These forums exist for standard discussion and a separate one for proposals discussion. And you can subscribe by email or look at the forums online. And also you'll find a forum for SG5. All those SGs, many of them are going to make their mailing list traffic publicly readable. Some of them might even make them publicly writable. That's up to them. I will do whatever they say, but that's up to the subgroup share. But we want to make the standardization process more transparent, to let you participate more easily, to let people see and comment on proposals. And it has already borne much fruit just this year. There's a page for getting started. Get a compiler, and there's already going to be another compiler put on here this weekend that's not on here yet that I have the links for, to take a tour of modern C++. Several of you approached me before the talk and said, how can I get started? Where is there a tour? And the recommended books to learn more, including that first one, if you don't even know how to program, why not learn with C++? Bjarne has a really good book that's been proven with hundreds and thousands of students that works to show programming, to teach programming in C++. Now, in that tour, I'm very happy to say that Bjarne Stroustrup and Addison Wesley, Pearson Education, have contributed a large part of the upcoming new fourth edition of the C++ programming language. Bjarne has almost done that book. It is going to be available. There's the cover, and there's a pre-order link there should you choose to use it. And that will be available in early 2013, in a few months. It has something new that third edition never had. None of the previous ones had. It has four chapters that are a tour, end-to-end, of modern C++. The first of those four chapters is online now at the site, and we'll continue to publish one every month until you have the whole draft part of Bjarne's yet unreleased book free for the reading. So thank you very much to Pearson and Addison Wesley and Bjarne Stroustrup for making that available. Of course, there's a section on standardization, /STD, which tells you everything from where to get the standard for $30 or something almost like it for free. Why isn't there just a link somewhere? Now there is. How does the committee work? Much of the information we've discussed today, how to participate, including how to submit a proposal. Here's a step-by-step guide. There's a call for papers. Did you know? No, because nobody even knew we'd issued a call for papers. We need to communicate better. We need to be more transparent, and that's what we're going to do. The article that just went live yesterday, I encourage you to read. I know you can do offline reading because it's built into the site. Read it on the way home. Some of you have already told me you're catching planes in a few hours. And see what Scott Myers has to say about universal references in C++ 11. I'm sure you'll enjoy this and much more content. We'll link to other content as it's available around the web. But there'll also be new content that will be hosted directly on the site itself. The goals here, my management tasked me a year ago with, look, we got to get the word out about modern C++. That's why I gave the build talk last year on modern C++ code. But to teach people about modern C++, to address the biggest problem with C++ today, which is the lack of accessible libraries, portable libraries that you can just assume everybody has access to. Before you can even begin to solve those problems, it turned out this big piece was missing that we're trying to fill with this site. Because people would ask, well, how do I even learn about C++? How do I find quality books and articles and events? How can I ask questions about the standard? How do I know what the committee is doing? How do I get involved? How do I submit a proposal? All of those things now have answers, and we are going to continue to build that out. What you see is not the end. It is just the beginning as we continue to build out, starting from this version one of the site. And we hope that you'll like what you see. And I have just one more thing to announce, because a lot of you might be wondering, well, who's running this? And Microsoft funded it and put the site together. I spent my time doing it, but we couldn't have done it alone. All of this was put together with the help of talking to literally several hundred people, from ISO in Geneva, being allowed to use the ISO name, to the different companies and partners we've worked with, all of whom use C++, to individuals in the Standards Committee, Boost, especially I want to call out people who've helped me. This is not an exhaustive list, but especially Bjarne Strustrup, Beeman Dawes, who founded Boost, and Eric Niebler, also of Boost, were invaluable in helping since February to figure out what was needed and to create, to start filling this hole. But somebody's got to own and run this. So I have a trivia question for you. Who owns C++? What company owns C++? Crickets. That's actually the correct answer now. No company owns C++. Now, some of you might have thought AT&T, and that is the only answer that was ever true, and that stopped being true in 1989 when AT&T, Alderaan-like, gave up its property and submitted C++ and gave it away to the world for standardization. Now, the Standards Committee own C++ in the sense that they're the caretakers of what is the specification of modern C++. And that is with ISO blessing, with national bodies ratifying what they do. But no company owns C++. It's funny, because in the 1990s, especially, Bjarne would tell me, he'd get people who say, oh, C++, that's Microsoft's language. That was never true. It never should be true. It is never going to be true. He also heard, oh, C++, that's Borland's language, because that was really big in the day. They were a very popular vendor. That was never true. It's also never going to be true. Instead, we've created something that has never existed in the history of C++, which needs to exist. And so, with the help of many partners, we're building it. I'm very pleased to announce today the formation of the Standard C++ Foundation. It is currently being registered as a U.S. 501c6 nonprofit with the charter to promote the understanding and use of standard C++ on all compilers and platforms. Microsoft footed the bill for setting it up and then has given it away. It is organized exclusively for the improvement of business conditions for C++ software developers. That's a quote taken directly from the Articles of Incorporation. It is a trade association. This is not a substitute for the Standards Committee. It is an external entity that will offer services to the Standards Committee, may offer infrastructure, but ISO WG21 remains unchanged. We support the community. We support people knowing about modern standard C++, and we want to support the Standards Committee's work, but it's vendor neutral, and it's not owned by any company. We are very glad to be able to acknowledge those who have already signed up as members of the foundation and who are contributing with their pocketbooks to supporting this work. So I want to specifically thank Microsoft. Thank you, Microsoft. Thank you, Google. Thank you, Texas A&M University, where Bjarne is the chair of the college. Thank you, Intel and ARM, Pearson Education, IBM, Hewlett-Packard, Bloomberg. Thank you very much, OpenMP, BD Software, Dinkumware, HSA Foundation, the DRW Trading Group, Plum Hall. Thank you very much to Symbio, to Fulman Engineering, and that is just the snapshot of the list today. Thank you to all these companies who are members of and creating and funding this important foundation to promote standard C++ on all compilers and platforms. Now, all of these companies are putting up money and funding this. They don't control the foundation. They're non-voting. All the members are non-voting. Not one of them gets anything for it other than their logo on the screen and the benefit that investing in standard C++ is good business. Microsoft runs on C++. Bloomberg runs on C++. Facebook and any other company you want to name today that's a major company in the world, one way or another, runs on C++ and benefits from all of this goodness of the standard. Who run it are the directors. And the founding directors are six people who are well known and trusted in the C++ community. I especially want to thank Bjarne Strusrup for volunteering to serve as a director of this foundation. He, of course, is the creator of C++. Also, Chandler Carruth of Google is active in C++ standardization, and he gave a talk here at Going Native. You might have seen him 9 months ago here. And a very entertaining talk about Clang, because at Google, he is the manager of the Clang project, the Clang compiler. Beeman Dawes of Boost is a very wise soul and deeply appreciated in the industry. How many of you like Boost? Let me hear you if you like Boost. You can thank that man. You can thank that man because he was the library working group chair for much of the 90s, still continues active. Without him, Boost would not exist. Stéphanos Dutoit of Intel is our current project editor. He's the guy with his fingers on the standard, having succeeded Andy Koenig and Pete Becker. He's the guy who put it on GitHub. And if you didn't know, the C++ standard was on GitHub, and anybody can just take it and fork it and look at it and do whatever you want. It's public. He put it there a few months ago, and isoCPP.org tells you that it's there because we've been really bad at getting our own word out, and now we're going to do a much better job of that. And Michael Wong of IBM has participated in standardization for many years. He is now the head of delegation for Canada. He casts Canada's vote within WG21. He is also the CEO of OpenMP, the OpenMP Consortium. These are people that those sponsors trust with doing the right thing for C++ and who represent various compilers, represent various platforms, represent academia, represent community libraries. And so we're very excited to see what will come, because what you see today is not the end, it is the beginning. Over the next 24 months, we expect to ship and publish 3 technical specifications and 1 standard out of ISO. ISOCPP.org has everything from getting started to a curated blog and open forums, how you can find out committee news and updates, and over the winter we'll add a C++11 FAQ. If you're familiar with Marshall Klein's FAQ, Marshall Klein and again Addison Wesley have graciously agreed to contribute all of their material for free on the site in the C++ FAQ book and the online FAQ, which we're going to load into a wiki over the winter and then crowdsource. I expect that by spring, we will have a thorough C++11 FAQ. And by the way, Bjarne Strusrup has his own, and he's got 2 kinds of FAQs. One is his opinion, which belongs on his site. The other is facts about C++11. Those also will be integrated in that FAQ as our next major deliverable. But there'll be more to tell, and we'll have more announcements over the coming months. And especially the Standard C++ Foundation, an entity, a trade association to promote the use and understanding of C++ on all compilers and platforms. It is good for Microsoft, it is good for Google, for Intel, and for everybody. And we're very excited about that. So you can learn more about it at these links. Download the CTP. Don't forget that we also issued a Visual C++ CTP in all the excitement that has lots of new C++11 features like variadic templates. If you are interested in C++ content and want to hear more, please fill out the session evaluation. We always like to hear back from you to know what are the things you liked that we should do more of or make adjustments. So the speakers always read those, so we always beg for that information because it's very valuable to us as speakers. But especially if there's a technology like Azure or like C++ that you want to hear more of, the best way you can communicate that is to fill out a session evaluation and say so. And then you will see more of that content again. We're also going to have live question and answer. because 5 minutes is not enough for that, we are actually going to reconvene online. So on air at the Channel 9 feed about 45 minutes from now at 2:30 Pacific Standard Time, Pacific Daylight Time, it's not Standard Time for another 48 hours or so. It's 2:30, 45 minutes from now. We'll have live Q&A. Feel free to tweet your questions or however Channel 9 takes them, and I'll be happy to answer many questions about the foundation, standard C++, ISOCPP.org. C++ continues to heat up in the industry. It continues to accelerate. We are continuing to see new compilers like Clang, massive and broad investment, and we see that speeding up of C++ work throughout the software world. These are exciting times to be a software developer on any platform using any language. They are especially exciting times to be part of C++. I hope you enjoy what you've seen today. Thank you very much for coming, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.